Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
A new ESPN report concludes that Tim Donaghy conspired to fix NBA games. Donaghy's not happy about it. Former NBA official. It's been more than 10 years since that story broke. Gosh. What's Tim Donaghy up to? We decided to find out, so we called up Tim Donaghy and said, Tim Donaghy, you want to come on the show? And Tim Donaghy is joining us. And this story, if you haven't read it, it's probably worth your time to get a refresher on it. I was doing it during the commercial break. But we want to go to the source. That's what we do here. And so Tim Donaghy, former NBA official, is with us. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. Where are you right now? Like, where's Tim Donaghy's home base these days?
Sarasota, Florida.
ESPN writes this story and comes out. What's the first you heard of it? Did they try to contact you to talk with you about it, or what's the first you heard of it?
They did. I think his name was Scott. He called me several times. I ended up blocking his number so that he couldn't contact me anymore because I kept declining to talk to him. And one day he actually showed up at my front door and rang the doorbell. And, I politely told him, I didn't want to speak to him. And he came back the next day, and I wasn't so polite, and he never ended up coming back again.
You, this story, it's been more than a decade since this came up. You've served 15 months in a federal prison. You were never found to have fixed an NBA game as you reffed. You did talk about, and you have talked about, openly about betting on your own games. The FBI looked into it. The NBA looked into it. Did you think this was all behind you, and then all of a sudden this comes back up? Is that how it strikes you?
I did, and, like I said, I knew this guy was sniffing around because he was in Philadelphia talking to a lot of my friends, and I knew it was only a matter of time before he came to me. So the reason I didn't want to speak to him, because I felt like it was a hit piece from the beginning, because they all said that he was working the article around him, trying to prove that I fixed games.
Tim Donaghy with us, former NBA official. Let's go back to what you have talked about doing, and just to give a refresher for our listeners, when this comes up a decade ago, you admitted to betting on your own games. Is that right?
Yes.
What else were you involved with that you're openly talking about?
I mean, obviously I bet on, games that I officiated. I passed along information based on the meetings that the referees were having and based on what the league office wanted us to call in playoff games. And with that being said, I was able to, win at a high percentage when we were gambling on the NBA games.
How'd that start? It must have started much more innocently.
It did. I love to golf. I love to go to the casinos. I was betting on college and pro football. I had a good friend that, would place the bets and just spiraled out of control into betting on some basketball games and then NBA games. And then when I felt that one of the referees had said something to me and it was going to put a team at an advantage or a disadvantage, I started passing that information along also and started betting on games that I officiated.
Do you remember that moment of truth where it sort of crossed into the NBA, which, was the NBA not okay with you gambling at all? Was that the policy?
Right. It was in the contract that we weren't supposed to place a bet of any kind. And, I remember the conversation vividly. I was at Rally Run Country Club with a buddy of mine who had the Philadelphia Daily News looking at the point spreads. And he flipped it to me and he said, the NBA. And I had just come from home. I knew who was officiating the games. And I picked three games for him and they all won. And he called me the next day and he said, is this really that easy for you to do this? And I just kind of chuckled. And from there, we were, betting on NBA games.
Talking to Tim Donaghy, former NBA official. The report comes out. They claim to have logged all of your calls, looked at game film, and used statistical analysis. And, you know, ESPN's piece alleges, and the headline says, it concludes that you did conspire to fix NBA games. Is that offensive to you, or do you look at that and go, hey, I understand when I've been involved in other stuff that people would start to go down those roads?
No, I absolutely get it, and that's fine. But I think that the way they went about it was skewed a little bit. I know they quoted Phil Scala, who was the FBI agent who arrested me. He wrote the foreword for my book, said I told the truth at every turn, but yet they have him in the article saying basically that I fixed games. And I spoke to him yesterday for about an hour, and he said that he was misquoted, was really disappointed in the guy that wrote the article. So I think if you want, you can find a bunch of people that are going to say that I said certain things to them, but in reality, I didn't. Everybody that they have quoted in that article, I had some type of problem with, and are coming out and saying that at some point in time, I told them that I fixed NBA games, and it just isn't the truth. Did I go out and did I make calls in those games that the NBA wanted me to call and the crew to call? Absolutely. Did it put a team at an advantage or a disadvantage? Absolutely. And that's how I was able to win the bet so easily. But did I go out and put Shaquille O'Neal or Kobe Bryant or LeBron James to the bench, throwing cheap, quick fouls on them so that I could win a bet? No, that never happened.
Tim Donaghy with us, former NBA official. Give us an idea in your mind what the difference is between what you did and what fixing would amount to. Because I think some people hear you say that and they go, wait a minute, controlling the game at all is fixing the game. What's the difference?
I think the difference is I'm going out and doing my job as the league wants me to do it in that first example, and I was very good at it. I was rated in the top five of officials for play accuracy in calling the game. So I was going out doing what the league wanted me to do along with the other officials. I think if you're fixing a game, I think you're basically going into that game and calling or making plays and fouls up against the star players to put that player to the bench so that team's at a major disadvantage.
Tim Donaghy with us. We're now watching gambling, sports gambling, become legalized in many states and across the country. The door's open for that. What's your reaction when you hear that? When you hear, like, you know, hey, they're opening the door for that. Is that problematic? Is it a long time coming? Will it keep the game more honest, or does it breed more problems?
I think it's going to breed more problems, and where I think that that's going to escalate is at the college level when you have some of these college kids that know they're not going to the NBA, that are not playing for one of these major programs, that have lines that are on these games, and if they're favored by 14 or 15 points, they're going to feel that it's no harm, and maybe, let's win the game, but let's only win by 8 or 9. Let's not cover the spread, and let's put a couple dollars in our pocket and profit that way. So I think they're is very close to another major scandal, but I think it's going to be most likely at the college level with one of these kids that may not have the economic worth that they want and their family needs, and they're going to have somebody that's going to do something to try to help provide for their family.
When you were officiating, I know other gamblers kind of caught on to the idea that when, hey, Donaghy's calling a game, we want to bet the same way Donaghy's going. Did coaches become aware? Did anybody ever come up to you when you were assigned to a game and say, hey, Tim, I hope you have us tonight, or anything like that?
No, I mean, there were times where, especially if you were, refereeing with Dick Bavetta, there'd be one group of players that was extremely happy and one group of players that was disappointed. He either really took care of people or really hurt them. So nobody ever came out and ever said to me, I hope, you're going to help us tonight or whatever. It was just, something that it depended on what referee crew I was with and what had happened in previous games with some of those referees and what the league office dictated, in a morning meeting that they wanted us to call, somebody who was going to be in an advantage or a disadvantage. And I just was able to capitalize on that in a way that I shouldn't have. And, you know, nobody wishes they could turn back time more than I can, but unfortunately I can't.
Let's speak about that. You know, that morning meeting, that call you get with the NBA, I'm assuming that comes from the director of officials. Is that it, where you're getting a directive on, hey, we want to emphasize fill in the blank?
Then you have a director of officials, but underneath him there were other people that worked under him that would come to the games, especially during playoff time, and sit in the hotel room with you and go over the previous game, and they would show you calls that they felt were incorrect, and they wanted you to correct, you know, in that game tonight. And one of the examples that I have in my book is Houston and Dallas. Houston was up, I believe, 3-1 in a playoff series with Dallas, and they told us to concentrate on calling illegal screens on Yao Ming and watch his pivot foot. And, you know, we went out and did that, and it was a home game for Houston, and they lost and ended up losing the entire series to Dallas. So it was always, it seemed that they were favoring that team that was down in the series in order to make it go to a game 6 or 7 in order to capitalize on the revenue.
Yeah, and the perception, I think, from fans has always been that, hey, the NBA loves a long series. You're telling us that at the time that you officiated, that wasn't just perception, that was reality.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. They always came in. They had these group supervisors go over plays, and then sometimes we left the room laughing, saying, oh, you know, they definitely want the Lakers to win tonight. So it was something that was openly discussed by the referees, and the fact that, you know, we can't, you know, hurt a team that's ahead in the series or down in the series. You know, we have to go out and make calls that are not going to end this series. We have to make sure if there's a opportunity to go either way, we give it to the team that's down in the series.
Tim Donaghy with us, former NBA official. All right, when you look at basketball games today, I'm watching the game. Are you still watching officials to see kind of what they're calling, how they're calling a game? Do they call an illegal defense early in the game? Are they getting a guy in foul trouble? Are you watching for those things?
Absolutely, and I also look for, you know, when LeBron James has 2 or 3 fouls and commits another foul, or is there another player in that area that they dish that foul off in order to protect that player? And they're still doing that. So they also wait to see if the ball goes in the basket, and if it doesn't, they call a foul rather than just calling the fouls as they occur. If a guy goes to the basket and dunks and he's hit, they're usually laying off that play unless the ball pops out, then they'll call the foul. So they try to say that they have to go with some type of flow to the game, but really there's nothing in the rule book that dictates or talks about flows. It's either a foul or it's not.
You had your memoir, you came out, you served your time 15 months in federal prison. What was that 15 months like?
Hell. I mean, as you can imagine, it's not fun in any way, shape, or form. You're in prison with you know, some pretty bad guys, and unfortunately I had a X on my back, a mark on my back because of what I did and the fact that I cooperated with the federal government in the whole situation. So it was definitely a difficult time.
How does that manifest itself? Like, you know, I hadn't thought about the idea that you cooperated, so that they saw you as a snitch.
Absolutely.
And how does that manifest itself inside prison? I mean, are you getting challenged? Are you getting, is it just stuff happening behind your back? Or are you getting people who want to fight you?
Oh, all the above. In fact, I think we've talked about this before. A guy picked up a paint rolling pole and whacked me across my knee a couple times. I've had 2 knee operations to try to, you know, correct the problem from that. He was shackled and shipped off to a maximum security prison for the attack. So definitely there was some difficult times and situations because my case was so public and it was in the newspapers when I reported to prison that I had cooperated.
Tim Donaghy with us. All right, you get out of prison. That day that you walk free, you've got, I don't want to say a blank slate because you still have this public's perception hanging out behind you, but what was that like to walk out of there?
It was difficult, but it felt great, and every time you think that it's behind you or past you, something seems to pop up, and like you said, this was probably over a decade ago, and this article popped up, and for some reason, you know, this guy didn't want to let it go. And once somebody like ESPN writes something like that, everybody else seems to jump on board. Bleacher Report and everybody else has a way of spinning the story themselves to try and grab a headline. But, you know, the fact is those people that were in that article, I never told any of them that I fixed the game.
Tim, what should the headline be now for, you know, moving forward? And if we're letting you write the headline, what do people need to be aware of and worried about?
I think that, you know, that there is no headline. I feel like the story should be a non-existent at this point. I made a terrible mistake. I did something that I shouldn't have done, but I felt like, you know, I paid the price for it. I did my time in prison. I lost my job. I you know, paid the restitution back to the NBA. I feel like we all make mistakes in life. Maybe mine was a little bit more public than others, but, you know, people have been very nice to me and understanding with that, but it just seems at times the press seems to judge everything back up and seems to want to continue to bury me over the situation.
All right, Tim, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing. And the reaction that you've had, has ESPN reached back out to you, or what is the reaction you're getting?
I'm getting a lot of, you can only imagine the amount of interview requests I get. And the only reason I've done one other than you is because you seem to always be fair to me and professional and try to report the story in a fair manner. But, you know, just the amount of requests for interviews and text messages is, you know, astronomical. So I'm just hoping, you know, that everything settles down, and hopefully by Friday or Saturday this will pass, and hopefully it won't come back up again.
Tim Donaghy, hey, I appreciate you, man. We wish you the best, and do well with the rest of your life, Tim.
You got it. Thank you.
All right, there he is. Former NBA official Tim Donaghy. It is confusing to me, like, why... I get it. 10 years later, ESPN's looking back into it. But does it feel a little bit like they were just looking for a headline? You got the bald-faced truth. Leave it here.
Catch your game on. Listen to us. 1029 and 750 The Game, where the pros play.
Love that Tim Donaghy interview. And for those of you, if you missed any of it, you can grab a podcast of it on SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Make sure you subscribe and give us a rating. If you give us a rating, it helps other people find us. Thanks to Tim Donaghy for popping on. Tomorrow, I will be live from the Portland Golf Show. Stop by. No, Friday. Friday. Sorry, Bobby. Yeah, you looked at me like... It was like National Pet Day. You were like that dog that hears the sound. Kind of looked over like, huh? That's Friday. I'm screwed up this week. I've been screwed up all week.
Because of Monday?
Monday.
Yeah.
I thought today was Tuesday.
Yeah.
And in fact, I happen to be sitting, don't tell Mike Golub this, the president of the Timbers, but I happen to be sitting in the lobby here at the PacWest Center having a coffee, and I got a text from him who said, I'll be right there. And I went, oh, crap. I have coffee on Wednesday with Golub. It's Wednesday. I happen to be in the right place at the right time. And granted, if you were an assassin, that'd be a good place to look for me, you know, because you could find me there. I mentioned that on air, and I had a guy showed up one day. Yeah, don't do that. Schedule is good. Don't surprise me. I'm usually working. It was really interesting. Monday messed me up. Did Monday mess you guys up at all?
I was here.
Because you were working.
Yep.
It's normal.
Yep, it was normal.
I had class, but I didn't come here. So it was a little different, but kind of not really.
That's why when I saw you today, I was not surprised because I thought it was Tuesday.
Yeah, no, I just had a class get canceled, so I came in.
How's that? What's that feeling like when you show up and there's no class?
Oh, I didn't go. We got an email about it this morning.
Oh, you get it. We used to have to go all the way to the room. Yeah. And there'd be a sign on the door saying canceled. Or you'd pass somebody before you got to the room and they'd be like, no class.
It's yeah, no. I texted the girls in that class that I'm friends with and let them know because it was pretty early that the email went out.
That's awesome. No class. free day all to yourself, and you decided to come to work.
Yeah.
There you go. That's how you do it. All right. Dave Deckard, who is the managing editor of Blazers Edge, is going to be with us coming up top of the hour. I'm not going to ask him. Maybe I will ask him about Damian Lillard and how thrilled Lillard is to be in Portland. But I am going to ask him about something really cool that Blazers Edge is doing. They want to send 2,000 kids to a Blazers game, and I know our listeners can help get him there. You guys have always been very supportive of kids in the community, so Dave Deckard will be coming up top of the hour to talk about that. Later in the show, the CEO and founder of the American Flag Football League is coming on. I told a friend of mine, I said, I got Tim Donaghy, I got the guy from Blazers Edge, and I got a guy who founded a flag football league on the show, and he said, no one else in America is going to have that combination of guests today. That's how we roll. So he's coming up later in the program as well. If you have a guest that you want to hear on this show, somebody that you're excited to hear from, you can always tweet at me, at John Canzano BFT, and you can play producer for the day. And if you're really good at it, we'll fire our producers, and you can come on and produce the show. That's how we do it. We're a true capitalistic radio show here. Yeah, true capitalism.
No loyalty.
No loyalty whatsoever. It's like Damian Lillard said, you know, he wouldn't leave his team because he's thinking about his guys. And I'm like, you know what? As soon as he figures out this team doesn't love him. And by the way, I was a little hurt that he didn't say, I wouldn't leave because the fans. Notice he didn't mention the fans. He mentioned his teammates. I don't want to do these guys bad. How about fans? How about NBA players who betray fans? I'm not saying Lillard's guilty. Some other guys are more guilty. All right, leave it here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.